most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to thy presence and give you thanks, O Lord. As we meditate your word, we ask you, Lord, that you will speak to us, you will touch us, you will heal us, and Lord, you will bless us. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable to thee, my rock and my redeemer. And all God's people said, Amen. The title for today's message is The Word of God. The Word of God. If you open your Bible and go to Psalm 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Most of you know it by heart. Most of you, you know this verse by heart. And the verse is, Thy word is lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. Ni vakyamu na padamulaku deepamu na trovaku velugayunnadi. Your word is a light and your word is a lamp. The word of God is everything in our life. The word of God is everything in our life. You know, many times people are in confusion. People say that I don't know what's happening in my life. I don't know where God is taking me. I have no clue about my life. If you are today, there is an answer for these questions in your life. If you say that I am in a confusion state, I don't know what's happening with my life, then God is going to speak to you. God is going to give you an answer, a definite answer. You know, one day we were traveling and we came to a crossroads. I never been to this place. And we came to the crossroads. And as we came to the crossroads, I was in confusion because I never knew where to go, which side to go. And we started asking some people, you know, where is this place? And there were 10 people giving us 10 directions. Now, how do you feel when you get 10 directions? Which side you want to go? There's a confusion, right? There's a confusion. In the word of God also, there is something what God wants to speak to us. But when we listen to the people, we get confused. But when we listen to the word of God in our life, because the word of God, the Bible, is our roadmap to be in the presence of God. And when we read the word of God, we know which direction we need to go. And, you know, after that, I was traveling the same route. And I never asked anybody where to go, how to go, because I knew my destination. I knew how to go. And, you know, straight driving, you have reached your destination. The Christian life depends on our relationship with our God. And therefore, the word of God says that thy word, it is not anybody's word. Thy word is a light and a lamp unto my feet, though I stumble. You know, this chapter is very good. 119 chapter all speaks about the law of God, the word of God, the heart of God, and the psalmist declares that how we should be in the presence of God. So number one, what is the word of God? What is the word of God? In Hebrew, when you see this word, the word means dabar, which is in Greek, when you go, this dabar is explained in two words. In two words, it's explained in Greek. In Greek, if you want to know about dabar, in Greek it says logos and rhema. Logos is the thought of God And rhema is a spoken word, which is the power of God. The two words. But in Hebrew, these two words are put in one word and it is called davar. That means even the thought comes and even the spoken word comes from the same word. And if you see the spoken word in the New Old Testament, when we look into the Old Testament, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. It was a rhema. But in Hebrew, we don't call it rhema, we call it davar. And when you look into the New Testament, it talks about the spoken word of God. The word of God is a power of God in our life. The word of God is a power of God in our life. And that word of God which leads us and which delivers us and which brings us into the presence of God. Many people, I don't know, this is what I ask you every time. Do you read your Bible? Do you meditate? Do you meditate the word of God? Do you read your Bible? Because when you read the Bible, you're reading the word of God. And in the word of God, there is rhema. There is power of God in the Bible. There's power of God in the Bible. If you don't read Bible, then everything is confused for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 12, he says, our God is a God of order. Our God is not a God of disorder. Now, the word disorder is chaos. Our God is a God of principle. Our God is a God of order. Our God is not a God of chaos. Now, when you look to the Lord and if you say that I am a Christian, you should not be confused in your life. You should not be confused in your life. If you say that I am confused, I am unable to understand, that means you do not understand the word of God in your life. When you don't understand the word of God, then you are in confusion. When you don't understand the word of God, you are in confusion. Now let us see, what is this word? What is this spoken word? What is this davar, which is called logos, the thought of God? What is this? John brings this so well in John chapter 1. He says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In the beginning was the word was with God, and word was God himself. John chapter 1 verse 14, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So who is this word? Who is this davar? Who is this logos? And who is this rhema? When you look into the word of God, the word himself is a God who was in the beginning, who is and who is to come. And that same word was with God, and the same word is God, and the same word had come into this world as a flesh. You know, beautiful, when you read the word of God, says he came into this world and the word became flesh. That word is a very strong word, my friends. If you want to see my flesh, you cannot see my flesh because there is skin on me. To see my flesh, you have to peel my skin to see my flesh. And we all eat meat. You know, you all like goat meat. If you go and buy the goat meat, the skin is peeled, stripped. And you can see the flesh of this animal. And in the Bible, when he's talking about the flesh, he is explaining to us that God has stripped all his glory and left in heaven, and he came onto this earth as an ordinary person to save you and me. Therefore, very rightly, he has used that word flesh. He has become flesh and dwelt amongst us. In other words, God left his glory in heaven and came as an ordinary person to save us. And that is the power of God. That is the power of God. And in Romans chapter 1, Paul explains to us, verse 16, he says that gospel is the power of God. What is the power of God? Gospel is the power of God. The word of God is a power of God. The word of God is a power of God. Therefore, I urge you to read the word of God, because in the word of God, the power of God has been declared to us. The power of God has been shown to us. And therefore, the psalmist says that thy word will make me to walk the way you want me to walk. Thy word will teach me to walk the way you want me to walk. Thy word. Psalm 119 and verse 11 says that I have hidden your word in me, in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. If you don't want to sin, if you don't want to miss your mark, if you don't want to do something wrong, you need to have in you the word, the power of God. You need to have the word of God in you. When you have the word of God, that is Jesus Christ in you, when you have the Savior in you, then that is the time the Bible declares that you will not sin. You will not sin against the world. You will not sin against the Creator. And you will know that what He needs and what you have to give to our Creator. The Word of God says, I have hidden you. I have hidden thy word. I have hidden thy word in my heart so that I will not sin against you. Many times, why do we fall in sin? Why do we miss the mark? Why do we overstep? Why do we fall into the wrong ways in our life? Why? What is the reason? Ask yourself, why am I doing these wrong things in my life? What happened to me? Why am I unable to overcome certain things in my life? Examine yourself and you will know that there is a lack, and that lack is the word of God. The lack is the word of God. When we don't read Bible in our life, you know, when we are reading Bible, when we are praying, our conscience is put to test. When you read the Bible, our conscience is put to test. When you pray, our conscience is put to test. Always our conscience is speaking to us and asking us to look into the inside of our life. You know, nobody knows about you, my friends. You know everything about yourself. You can hide everything from others, but you cannot hide anything from God. You cannot hide anything from God. And therefore, you know, when you come into the presence of God, now God says that, okay, my child, I would love to bless you. You know, God wants to bless us. God wants to bless us, and God loves to bless us. But you know what God does? What is the first step before God blesses us? What is the first step? If you are a Christian, you should know. And many times, you know, James is saying that you ask him, but you don't get, because your motives are very selfish. It's in James chapter 4. When you read, he says, you ask many things, but you will not get it because of your selfish motives, you're not getting it. So how God blesses us? How God gives us? How God gives us? You know, Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10 says, God examines our heart. God looks into us. God looks into us and God examines our heart. How many of you know that God examines us? How many of you know God tests us before He blesses us? How many of you know that? Praise the Lord. Because God says, the word of God says that the Lord searches the heart tries the ruins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. God wants to bless us. God wants to give us. Now let me ask you a question. If he's a giver, why can't he give us just everything like that? Why should he examine our heart? Why should he get into our personal life? What is the reason for God to do that? You know, just read before, verse before. That is 9th chapter. It says, heart is deceitful about everything. Our heart is so deceitful about everything, and our heart has cancer. Our heart has cancer. And we cannot retain the blessings of God in this stage. We cannot have the blessings of God because, you know, whenever we have this disease in us, we will not respect anything which comes from God. And God wants us to respect his blessings. God wants us to be those blessings in our life, to be a blessing to people. Now, before God wants to give us, now he says, let me look into your heart. Let me look into your heart. And when he looks into our heart, you know what happens? Our heart is diseased. Our heart is wicked. Our heart is sinful. Now ask yourself, why my heart is so sinful? Why my heart is so wicked? What is the reason? What is the reason? Then read the word of God. Start reading the word of God. You will understand that there is a lack of word of God in your life. We sin against God when we don't know what God wants from us. And his word teaches us. His word leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You cannot walk unless and until you know the word of God. We need to understand the word of God. You know, many times people think that we can do everything and we can wash and we will be cleansed. And they have some vague ideas in their life. Unless and until we are washed. And you know how God washes us. How God cleanses. That word in Bible is called sanctification, consecration, washing, set apart. You're pulled from everything. How God sanctifies us. How God sanctifies us. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. He says he wants you and me to be holy. He wants to separate us from everything. He wants to wash us and cleanse us through what, Andy? Through what? He wants to cleanse us by the water, by the word of God. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to sanctify us. He wants to bring us out of our own old life into the new life. He wants us to bring us out of darkness into light. And how will he bring us? How will he bring us? He brings us through the word of God. He cleanses us through the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25 or 26. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The gospel of God has been preached to you. This is the word, and that word is Rhema, the power of God. By listening, faith comes by listening, and listening the word of God. Faith comes by listening. And it comes through the word of God. And that word of God is Rhema. That is the power of God. the power of God. When you read the word of God, you are filled with the power of God. When you read the word of God, you are cleansed by the word of God. When you read the word of God, you know how to walk in the presence of God. The word of God is above everything. The word of God is basic need in every Christian life. The word of God is very basic in our life. Why we fall down from the presence of God? Because we lack the word of God. We lack the word of God. And how do we lack the word of God? By not reading. By not reading the word of God. Not understanding the heart of God. Paul is explaining to Timothy. Timothy is a young man. He is hardly about 30 years. He has been saved. He is a Christian. And Paul says that, my son Timothy, you are the pastor of the church, Church of Ephesians. I want you to be an example. I want you to be an example. When you stand in the presence of people, I want you to be an example. How can a Christian be an example in this world? How can a Christian be an example in this world? How many of you testify when you are in the office? How many of you testify about Jesus Christ wherever you go? How many of you pray when you get up in the morning that, Lord, give me one chance to proclaim your word to somebody today so that I may bring glory? How many of you pray? How many of you have that interest to proclaim the word of God? Why don't you pray? Why don't you proclaim the word of God? Why don't you have that burden for the lost souls in your life? Why you always think about your family, your work, your money, your relatives? Why you think about these things all the time? What is the reason? And many of our Christians, I'm telling you, many of our Christians are not satisfied even after God is blessing them abundantly. What is the reason? We lack the word of God in our life. We lack the word of God in our life. Mana jeevitham lopata devun yokka vakyam kodava. We are lacking the word of God. Devun yokka vakyam mana jeevitham lopata eppudaithe kodava untado devuniki ishtamainatvanti pani edi kuda nu cheyam. You will not speak about him. You will not proclaim the word of God. Because you are a dead person. You are a dead person. When there is no power of God, if you cannot breathe, you are a dead person. And the word of God is a breath to our life. Thy word is breath. Thy word is a life to us. The word of God is important. The word of God leads us into the paths of righteousness. Now let me tell you, what happens when we have the word of God? Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, I'm reading from verse 97. Psalm 119, I'm reading from verse 97.
Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. The psalmist says that I love your words. I love your commandments. I love them. And when I say that I love them, what should I do? I should meditate upon them. I should meditate upon them. Divaratramulu vakyamunu dhyaninchina vadu dhanyudu. Entandi divaratramulu vakyamu dhyaninchina vadu dhanyudu atadu niti kalvala yora natabadina dai aaku valaka tana kalamandu phalamichu chettu valenundu. Say praise the Lord. Atadu aaku valaka tana kalamandu phalamichu chettu valenundu. I love your word. The psalmist says, I love your word. And when I say that I love your word, I meditate thy word. You know, when you meditate the word of God, there are certain things what happens in our life. There are certain things what happens. And he speaks about that. He says, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. Number one. What does the commandments of God, what does the word of God make us? The word of God, the commandments of God makes us wiser than our enemies. Now beautiful. You know this wiser. When you say that, when you read this, when you say that, you know, I wiser than my enemies, that means I have more knowledge than my enemies. We'll talk. And we'll say that that guy is a foolish guy. He doesn't know how to think. You know. Correct. Says, I am wiser than. The meaning of wiser, what he uses is, our thinking and action is very different from other people. How can you become wise? How can you become wise? When you think differently. When you act differently. A Christian must think differently. You cannot think as a non-Christian thinks. My friends, let me tell you something. If you are thinking like a non-Christian, then you are not a wise person, but you are the enemy of Jesus Christ. He says, you make me wiser than my enemies because my thinking is very different. My actions are very different. And that very action and your thinking makes you wiser than people who are against Jesus Christ. When you read the word of God, when you read the word of God, when you meditate the word of God, the power of God changes your thinking. The power of God changes your action. And that's the reason James says, oh, you have faith? Come on, show me your faith without actions. Can you show faith without actions? No. Every born again Christian, every born again Christian manifests his faith through his actions. But when you are not a born again Christian, then I will take you to Ephesians chapter 2. It says, we have been saved by the grace of God, not by our deeds. We have not been saved by our deeds, but we have been saved by the grace of God. This is the first step before you become a Christian. But once you become a Christian, your words, your actions speak about your faith. Your actions speak about your faith. Therefore, the psalmist says that you have made me wiser than my enemies. By reading the word of God, by being in the word of God, the Rhema, the Logos, the Jesus Christ who is in us, makes us to think different and acts us to act in a different way. The thinking and action makes us wiser than the other people. Number one, you'll be wiser. Number two, when you go. 99. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more insight, says, I have more insight, I am more wiser than my enemies, and I have more insight. That means I have more understanding. I have more understanding than my teachers. That's the beauty. You know, a person who is teaching you is your master. But here, the Word of God says that by meditating the Word of God, you'll have more understanding. 1 John 2nd chapter says, you have an anointing and you don't need anyone to teach you, because the anointing what is upon you is a true and real, and that anointing will teach you. You'll have more understanding than your teachers who are teaching you. You can have it only when you have the Word of God. When you have the Word of God, number one, you'll be wiser than your enemies. All the schemes, what they do, your schemes are very different. Number two, because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we have more understanding of the Word of God. Third thing, when you see in this, I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precept. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. Amen. When we have the Word of God, you will not fall into temptations. You will not fall into temptation, but you will be delivered from the temptations. You will be delivered from the temptations. The Word of God is important in our life. The Word of God is the power of God. The Word of God is a power of God. If you lack that power in your life, that means you lack the Word of God in you. If you are confused in your life, let me tell you something tonight. You lack the Word of God in your life. You lack the Word of God in your life. Recently, I was talking about the Word of God. I was talking why people get into confusion. I was talking in a very small group and I was rejected. I could see the person who heard the message was not happy. The reason, I have not spoken what they wanted to hear. I have spoken the truth and I have told what God has asked me to tell them. I have been rejected. I could feel it very, very well. Very well, I could feel it. Nowadays, we are very accustomed to prosperity preaching. It is not the fault of the preacher, but it is the fault of the congregation. It is the fault of the congregation. Because people love to listen to the prosperity preaching. The Word of God is truth. Two-edged sword. It cuts the preacher and the listener. The Word of God, whenever the Word of God is preached, you must be touched so that you may examine what is wrong in you. When the Word of God is preached, you must have pain in your heart that I have done something wrong and God never likes me. Therefore, I need discipline. And you know, Paul very, very well, he tells and advises to Timothy. If you go to 2 Timothy, 4th chapter. Second Timothy, 4th chapter, and 3rd verse. I'm reading verse 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrines. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. This is the stage where we are living today. This is what the world wants. The world wants to listen what they have desire to listen. In the last days, this is going to happen. In the last days, people will be very lukewarm. Last days, people will not be in the Word of God. Last days, people would not like to read the Bible. They don't want to pray. They want to call themselves Christians. Just 2 weeks back, I was in the gym, I was in the swimming pool, and the lifeguard was talking to me. And as a pastor, I saw that person for the first time. I said, "Are you Christian?" And she said, "I think so." I said, "You think so? You're a Christian? That means you're not sure?" And she looked at me. I said, "If you're not sure, how can you call yourself that you are a Christian?" This answer is not from this lady only. There are many people who will give you the same answer. "I think so. I think so." Why you think? Because you're not definite. Confusion. Confusion. The last stage, the confusion will be more. People will be looking to satisfy themselves. People will be running after people to listen what their itching ears wants to hear. But let me tell you, as you're sitting here, the Word of God is true. The Word of God is truth. And therefore Jesus says, if you know the truth will set you free. And the Word of God is truth. The Word of God is truth. And you know what is the title given to Jesus in Revelation chapter 19? His name will be the Word of God. Go to Revelation chapter 19. And verse 13. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. His dress is dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ, which has been shed for you and for me, who died on the cross of Calvary to deliver us from the bondage of sin. Through his blood, we have been justified. Through his death, we have been resurrected. Through his death, we are alive because he has conquered the death. And his name is the Word of God. He is the power. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the first and the last. Who's sitting at the right hand of God, who's going to come back to judge this world in righteousness. And today, this is my prayer, my friends. Are you confused in your life? If you're confused, you lack the Word of God. Only the truth can set you free. Truth is Jesus, and his name is the Word of God. Let's pray. As we look into ourselves, we are reminded, friends, this evening, yourself that, Lord, I lack your word, your power. I want you to wash me with the word of God. Cleanse me and make me holy. Sanctify me, O Lord, so that I may be a useful vessel for you. Many times I call myself Christian, but I don't do what you tell me to do. My actions and my thinking is so different. I come to your presence and confess my weakness. And Lord, I just ask you that you please cleanse me with your word. Wash me, make me whiter than snow. Please do not take your Holy Spirit from me, but make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. My friends, as we enter into the Lord's table, I want you to spend some time in prayer, your personal prayer. Let your prayer, your conversation between you and the Creator, whatever God brings in front of you.